Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We'll talk to Chris's former teammate, our current teammate, Marcus Spears, in about a half hour here.
Swagoo!
The big Swagoo, which, by the way, I've seen him now handing out on Twitter. Got the little Swagoo, like, barbecue seasoning packets he's handing out. Has he sent you one yet?
No, he hadn't sent me one, but I'm a damn sure ask him about it, though. I feel like that's something that you got to pass along to one of your teammates, man. We played together in Dallas. We played together in Baltimore. And now we work together at ESPN. I feel like I'm being left out here. I don't understand why I wouldn't be one of the first care packages that he drops off.
That's what I'm saying. I've been looking around and seeing, you know, some of his, you know, his teammates on NFL Live, Laura Rutledge and company opened that up, and I'm like, huh.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know, Mike. Something's going on, man. I mean, my former teammate Eli Manning, he jumps on KJM without coming on our show. Now Marcus Spears not giving me the care package, not giving me the little spice for the season. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's me, but I feel like my teammates are throwing me a little bit of shade right now. We got to get this thing fixed.
It's, you know what? People acting real brand new around here right now.
I mean, tag and receipt still on them.
You hate to see it. Now, we might be feeling some type of way. If you're feeling some type of way, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, Giants fans, if you need to try and figure out where it goes from here, because I'm not going to lie, we were looking at the schedule. Doesn't look to be very good. So if you got some frustrations you need to get out here, hit us up. Be a part of Canty and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line at 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. We got a lot of questions and not a lot of answers for the Giants, but heading into the NFL weekend, we got to see if we will come out of this with questions or answers about some of the best teams in the league. So, Devin Kane, our producer, is going to throw a few of them our way, and we will tell you what kind of certainty we're going to get. Debbie, you ready?
I'm ready. First game up, Titans at the Seahawks. Chris, let's start with you. Will the Titans establish themselves as AFC contenders in this game?
No, it's not going to happen. Listen, they got bounced by an NFC West team last week in the Arizona Cardinals, and you're probably talking about more of the same this week up in Seattle. I don't think that's a place where teams go to get right, especially after what we saw the Seahawks do against the Indianapolis Colts. And I think that defensive front for Seattle, they're going to be able to apply more pressure than people want to give them credit for working against that Titans offensive line. So, no, this ain't a get-right game for Ryan Tannehill and company. It's going to be more of the same. I don't think it'll get as out of hand as what we saw down in Nashville last week, but this is another W for the Seahawks. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah, if your tackles were having trouble blocking pass rushers already, going to CenturyLink and trying to get off on the snap count the right way, now that we've got fans back in the stands, because that's going to be a big part of it. We saw it weigh in at Arrowhead down the stretch for the Cleveland Browns last week, and I have a feeling you're right here. This Seahawks team, I'm interested to see how that offense keeps progressing, because so far we did not see the Tennessee Titans and all that money they spent on defense paying off in a way that I'm comfortable betting on.
All right, next game. We got the Cowboys visiting the Chargers. Mike, will the Cowboys prove they are the best team in the NFC East?
You know what? I will say yes. We will get an answer on this, and that doesn't even require them to win this game, Devin. Like, that's the state we're in with the NFC East, where the answer to that can be overwhelmingly yes, based on...
Mike, we don't got you, but I'm going to pick up where you left off, buddy. I'm with you. This is going to be an answer, and they don't have to win the game to prove that they're the best team in their division. I feel like it's the NFC least part two, and you're talking about the Cowboys being able to win by default just because this team has the only known quantity in the entire division, that being Dak Prescott and that Cowboys offense. They got some moving pieces along the offensive line with Lyle Collins being out, and so you're probably talking about sliding Zach Martin over to play right tackle to fill in for him. But still, that being said, they should be able to go out and be competitive against the Chargers. Even if they don't get a win, I think they can show enough for us to feel confident in staying with them as our preseason pick to win the division.
All right, as we wait for Mike to get reconnected, let's go to the next game.
Saints, all right, let's do it.
Saints at the Panthers. Does Sean Payton let Jameis Winston throw down the field in this game?
I don't think he does. And quite frankly, I don't think he'll have to going up against this Panthers offense just because Sam Darnold has shown the tendency to give the ball back to the other team. Everybody's giving him kudos for what he did last week. but they forgot about that red zone possession. We're on fourth down. He decides to turn around and hand the ball off, and he hits the fullback, and it ends up being a fumble. So Sam Darnold is known for being able to give the ball back to the other team. And in a game like this, a division rival, I feel like Sean Payton is going to keep those training wheels on Jameis Winston, just ask him to manage the game rather than go out and win him the game. That, you know, that trust thing, it has to be earned, and Jameis is well on his way, but I don't think we're quite there yet where Sean Payton is going to let him air this thing out. So I'm going to say no, he doesn't trust him yet, but we could get one of those performances that gets us closer, gets Jameis Winston closer to being able to earn Sean Payton's trust.
All right, so next game up, Vikings at the Cardinals. Chris, is Arizona sneaky really good this year?
I'm glad you put in that word sneaky. That's the operative term right there, just because they can win this game and we still really won't know how good they are, just because we don't know how good the Bengals are. And the Vikings got bounced by the Bengals last week. So, yeah, I think this is one of those situations where Arizona has the ability to keep the train rolling and keep the dominance going. But we still won't have answers as to why, whether or not they're any good or not. So I think this is still going to be another one of those questions going into week three.
All right, next one up. We got the Bengals at the Bears. Chris, how much longer are the Bears going to try to make Andy Dalton a thing here?
Well, if you're a Giants fan, you're hoping that this is going to last a little bit longer than some of the Bears fans wanted to. But here's the deal, man. I don't know that Matt Nagy can afford to stay with Andy Dalton, just because I think he's going to run the risk of losing that locker room at some point. Because there's no way you can sell me on those guys believing that Andy Dalton presents a better chance for them to win games than Justin Fields, especially after what we've seen throughout the preseason and what we saw last week against the Rams. In the red zone possession, Andy Dalton threw a pick. In the red zone possession that Justin Fields was in the game, he ran it in for a touchdown. So, I mean, at some point, you have to realize that Justin Fields has a skill set that's going to enable them to overcome the deficiencies that they have, especially on the offensive line. They're looking for somebody to elevate the talent level around that offense. Andy Dalton has proven at this stage of his career, he ain't that guy. So I feel like Justin Fields needs to be the quarterback sooner rather than later. And if I had to put a date on it, I would probably lean toward that happening in week three against the Cleveland Browns. I don't think there's going to be a long leash for Andy Dalton at all.
All right, last one up. Chiefs at the Ravens. Can Lamar Jackson finally beat Patrick Mahomes?
No, this is still going to be a question after this game. I don't think the Ravens have enough on the offensive end to keep pace with the Chiefs' ability to score points. And I don't think the Ravens defensively can slow the Chiefs down. This is going to be a lot of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce hitting their head on the goalpost. Pat Mahomes, of course, as the trigger man. If you can't get after Pat Mahomes with a four-man rush, good luck trying to stop this offense. I mean, there are no good answers for it. I mean, you're going to have to bracket Tyreek Hill. You know they like to put him in the slot. You know when there's speed at three, it's going to be a problem with that over route. And then Travis Kelce is a matchup nightmare for any defense. So, yeah, if the Ravens can't rush Pat Mahomes with four and commit the other seven to the coverage, then they're not going to have a shot at being able to slow this Chiefs offense down. And based on what we saw Monday night from the Ravens, they can't get after the passer with four. So I'm saying that this is still going to be a question. All right, so that was NFL questions and answers. And we're waiting for my partner Mike Golick Jr. to get back on his Comrex. But when we come back, we're going to dive a little further into some of the matchups around the NFL in week two. And right at the top of the list has to be one with rookie quarterbacks in MetLife Stadium. We'll tell you why you should be paying attention to this AFC division rivalry game. You're listening to Canty and Golick Jr., ESPN Radio.
The Giants lose a heartbreaker on Thursday Night Football. Why it might go from bad to worse as we look forward here on Canty and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Chris Canty. We'll also talk to our friend Marcus Spears in about 10 minutes here. But Chris, I know we spent a lot of yesterday talking, and for anyone that missed it, I'm down here at Ole Miss right now. I'm on the call for Tulane against Ole Miss, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2 Saturday night. And listen, the when in Rome type feel was to go for gas station fried chicken yesterday. You were trying to talk me out of it. You were trying to be a good teammate.
Yep.
Chris, I met you halfway because I did get barbecue for dinner that comes in the styrofoam container here. It was delicious. I went with ribs. It did also come from a gas station, and I did also actually go to a gas station and get fried chicken. So I caved, I was weak, and I let it happen.
I'm not mad at you for actually going out there and giving it the old college try because you are on campus. But, I mean, I guess my biggest question was, since you got the barbecue that was in the styrofoam container, why did you need to go get the fried chicken afterwards?
Because I couldn't help myself, Chris, because I have a problem, because part of me still wants to be a 300-pound offensive lineman.
Okay, so you're a fat kid at heart. Go ahead and admit it. I mean, that's probably my issue, too. I mean, it is what it is, and I'm just going to accept it. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to lean into it. But, I mean, I got to ask this. It looked like it was in a paper bag. Am I wrong, or is that just what – because the picture that you put out there on social media looked very paper bag-ish.
Oh, it was a paper bag, and it was a paper bag soaked through with grease by the time I got from the gas station to my car.
Yeah. So trying to explain to Willie, who was on the call with us yesterday, who was on the line, that sometimes you do get really good fried chicken in a paper bag. Just putting that out there for folks. Don't dismiss the paper bag special.
Can I weigh in on this real quick, Mike? Because the barbecue that you got, did you pick your sides? What was the situation there? Because those green beans look kind of suspect.
All right, so first of all, what you're not going to do is come to B's Hickory Smoke Barbecue and disrespect the sides there. Now, I will say I got there later in the evening. This was technically second dinner, and so they were out of some of the other sides I could have gone with. But I looked and said, you know what? I can get a little green on my plate. I had already had gas station fried chicken and what I believe they called a potato log. It wasn't even a wedge. It was a full-blown log. So I had taken in a lot of starch at that point and probably needed something green to mix it in there.
That's just something to make you feel better, not to make you feel as guilty as you already were. I understand that move because I'm a big guy, and I've gone with that move. That's a great strategy, but at the end of it, you know that you ate way too much. But I ain't even mad at you for doing that because we already talked about it. When you're in the South, particularly the area that you're in, the Gulf South, you got to go all in with the eats, man, because them folks down there, they know what they're doing when they're in the kitchen.
I starved myself all week. I came down here to sin, and I'm going to do just that when it comes to the table. Now, as the NFL season rolls underway, make sure you're ready for kickoff with TuneIn, the app that lets you listen to live games, in-depth analysis, and tailored content for your team all season long. Plus, with ESPN Radio on TuneIn, you can listen to comprehensive football coverage from NFL Live, fantasy-focused football, and more, all to fuel your football fandom. Just download the TuneIn app today and start listening everywhere you go. And Giants fans, you might want to download that app and see if someone can offer you hope, because Chris, you and I were looking, coming off last night's loss, and again, the Giants now 0-2 for what you said, the fifth consecutive season now, Chris?
Fifth consecutive year. And the last four times they were 0-2, that led to double-digit loss season. So, yeah, the Giants feels like they're getting this thing off on the wrong track, and this is another ominous sign in this franchise's futility over the past half decade. So, I mean, it's crazy to think, Mike, this is the 10th anniversary of the Super Bowl 46 team. The Giants haven't won a playoff game since that Super Bowl run. That's how far this once-proud franchise has fallen. And quite frankly, I don't think they're showing any signs that they're going to get this thing back on track this year.
No, it's been brutal. And Chris, you and I were looking at the schedule during one of the breaks here, and it's a bit of a meat grinder in the middle of this thing, right? Like, you have your chance at a get-right game against the Atlanta Falcons. It is stoppable force meets movable object next week for these two teams. But then after that, you are on the road in New Orleans, on the road against Dallas, home against the Rams. You get maybe a reprieve against the Panthers at home, and then you're right back at it on the road at Arrowhead. Like, Chris, looking up and down the schedule, it is hard to find more than 7 wins for this team based on the mistake-prone football they've played in almost every position group.
Mike, let's keep it a buck. I mean, their bye week is week 10. Is there any chance that this team is better than 2-7 going into said bye week? I mean, I'm giving them the game against the Atlanta Falcons, but, I mean, after that, you tell me where the layup win is. I mean, maybe you want to say the Carolina Panthers because Sam Darnold is still a little suspect. I mean, are you willing to say that the Raiders would be that game after the way that the offense looked on Monday night? I don't know, man. I can't say that. And then just looking at on the road against New Orleans, on the road against Dallas, and then the L.A. Rams, I mean, let's just call that what it is. Those are L's. So, I mean, yeah, this Giants team – I mean, it has a chance of getting late early for him, and I quite frankly don't know how Joe Judge gets this thing back on track. And if they don't, then you're talking about a whole bunch of people not having their jobs after this season. Hell, might even be during the season somebody gets fired. So it'll be interesting to see how all of this plays out.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested. I mean, if there's just anything they can do that can inspire some hope in the next few weeks here, because these problems seem more systemic. And we'll wait. Two-game sample size is still just that, but it has not been something that anyone has found a way. And again, a heartbreaking loss against the Washington football team. We want to make sure people have a safe space to express their grief. 888-729-3776. Robert in Texas. Robert, down in Texas, which means if you were calling about the Giants, you must be extra sad.
Yeah, I'm very extra sad. And honestly, suicide watch was over just because I've been a Giant fan long enough to know this is what to expect from them. My big question, well, first of all, I love listening to you guys, and Canty, I wish you were still on the Giants, man. You were awesome the few years you were on there, and man, I wish you could suit up and still be on the team. Anyways,
my man.
At what point do we let Gettleman go? Because the man can't draft. He continuously screws up left and right. Drafting Tony or whoever this kid is, we needed to fix our offensive line, and we get bums on the offensive line. I mean, at what point will they wake up and draft offensive linemen? Can anyone help? We have a good offensive line.
Well, Robert, I will say this. They've been drafting offensive linemen, but to your point about the GM, and this is really where the rubber meets the road, those picks have not been developed. Those picks have not turned out the way some of their counterparts. And Chris, you brought this up the other day. Andrew Thomas's draft class at tackle, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone. Like, talent evaluation is not easy, but I'm sitting here on the outside and I can look and say, all right, well, Andrew Thomas looked clean and I got that wrong. The rest of the tackles in that draft class, I know Jedrick Wills is hurt right now, but when healthy and on the field, all look light years ahead of him right now.
No question. And Dave Gettleman had a chance to draft any one of those guys, and he didn't do it. And they looked so much better than what Andrew Thomas has showed. Even though he's been better in these first two games than he was at any point last season, I mean, it's still a gap between where he's at and where those other guys in his draft class are at. But that's a product of the general manager not necessarily making the right decisions in terms of finding the guys that would be a good fit, guys that can be productive and help move this program forward. I mean, a lot of questionable decisions from Dave Gettleman, and chief among them has to be taking Saquon Barkley with the second overall pick back in 2018 after having a double-digit loss season in 2017. They decided they were going to take a running back with the second overall pick when they could have had Josh Allen, when they could have had Quentin Nelson, when they could have had Lamar Jackson, knowing that Eli Manning was on his last legs. That's the direction that the general manager wanted to go in. I think it's fair to question every decision that he's made after that, because at this point, it feels like they're throwing good money after bad, and at some point, they're just going to have to clean house, have a new hierarchy, put fresh eyes on this thing in order to actually get this team back to the point where they can be consistently competitive.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. You can get at us, 888-729-3776. But coming up next, speaking of Dallas, let's head down there and find out if an 0-2 Cowboys team can still be in the driver's seat in this chaos division. We'll do that after this word from Barbasol. Now, in 1919, Barbasol introduced the very first no brush, no lather, no rub-in shaving cream. And today, we celebrate this milestone with a fresh take on the original. Introducing Barbasol 1919 Classic Shaving Cream, a culmination of over 100 years of shaving excellence. This new non-aerosol shaving cream is fortified with aloe, coconut oil, and shea butter to soothe and protect your skin. Paired with a fresh and calming fragrance, this ultra-slick formula delivers a shave experience like no other. Learn more at Barbasol.com. Back with Marcus Spears next on ESPN Radio. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And it's time for the weekend preview brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to Geico.com today. Head out to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to our friend, former NFL defensive lineman, and one of the great ESPN NFL Live crew members. Marcus Spears joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Marcus, what's going on, man?
What's up, MG Jr.? What up, C2? How y'all living? That's what I call Chris Canty for the rest of America. I call him C2. What's up, family?
What up, Swagoo? How you doing, man?
I'm cool, and brother, headed to see my daughter dunk on people on this volleyball game. Y'all know
that's what's up. That's what's up. That's what's up. Well, man, we're going to get right to it, man. Last night, it was a back-and-forth game. Did the Washington football team win that game, or did the Giants lose that game? Break it down for me.
It's the hardest thing to determine because Taylor Heineke played so well, but I think the Giants gave it away, and for obvious reasons, right? Like, you look at the two plays that really are the difference in, you know, all of us on this phone talking right now know that when you go back and you look at NFL games, more are lost than won. And you look and you identify two or three plays that if it would have went the other way, you win, right? The Slayton, wide open pass. Don't overthrow it. It was an overthrow. I don't give a damn what anybody says. And then two for Dexter Lawrence to jump off sides during a field goal might have, you know, not might have. It gave them another opportunity to win the game. So I think the Giants played well enough, man, and should be encouraged by what they saw from Daniel Jones. But the penalties, the miscues, that's the difference, right? That's what we attribute. When 15 makes plays for Kansas City, we all assume that the play is going to be made. Tom been doing it for years. We know that play is going to be made. Take the example of Baker Mayfield at the end of the game against the Chiefs in week one. You just don't know. So ultimately, man, it was lost by the Giants. And you know, it's hard to say that because Washington did so many good things, especially Taylor Heineke and how he operated that offense, man.
Marcus, when we're looking ahead at this weekend now, you mentioned Baker Mayfield, some of these other teams. Who's got the biggest get-right game this upcoming weekend? We know Buffalo lost week one. The Tennessee Titans got walloped by the Arizona Cardinals here. Who needs to get off the schneid this weekend and get back in the win column?
Oh, man. You know, you say it's some teams, but more importantly, the Green Bay Packers. Like, that's who needs to bounce back. Like, we all talked about this team of being an NFC Championship contender, Super Bowl contender, and they gave up 38 points. I know everybody wants to focus on Aaron Rodgers and how bad he played, and rightfully so, because we give him love and credit when he plays well. But ultimately, big dog, you got to bounce back, and that defense can't give up 38 points. And I know Za'Darius Smith is out now, but ultimately, when you look at the Green Bay Packers as far as expectations and everything that transpired this offseason, if they go 0-2, can y'all imagine what we're going to be doing on TV and radio next week?
It's going to be crazy, man. There's no way that Aaron Rodgers could let that happen. Because, I mean, he's going to be under fire if he lets his Packers go 0-2, especially in a primetime game against the Detroit Lions and our former teammate Dan Campbell in the Fighting Kneecap Biters. There's no shot that Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to turn down the temperature if it goes down like that. But, Mark, I got to ask you about the Dallas Cowboys. DeMarcus Lawrence going to be out for the next couple of months with the broken foot. How concerned are you about that defense? And then how do you feel like – how do you think that will affect the Dallas Cowboys and their prospects on what they want their 2021 to look like?
C2, as if we wasn't concerned already about the defense. We were actually in a wait-and-see holding pattern to see if Dan Quinn could at least get them halfway better than they were last year. Man, you know the difference. You and I play with DeMarcus Ware. If me and you missed the game, they would have replaced us, and the offensive game plan wouldn't have changed. And that's not to say we weren't good players, but it's certain players that's on certain levels, man, where you have to change what you do because they're on the defensive side of the ball. And if you identify a guy on Dallas's defense, that's 90. That's Tank. That's DeMarcus Lawrence. And ultimately, when you look at his impact, he played very well against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man. It didn't show up all on the stat sheet, but he was consistently in the backfield, played the run real stout, and obviously putting pressure on Tom Brady. This is huge. Based on what we saw, too, with the Los Angeles Chargers and how Justin Herbert is rolling, you need all hands on deck anyway if you're Dallas. But, I mean, unfortunately, you lose your best guy. And listen, Dak, and for what that offense was able to do week one against Tampa, they threw 58 passes, man. That is not going to be the formula. You're going to need some defensive stops. You're going to need turnovers, and you're going to need to get Zeke involved. But not having DeMarcus Lawrence in this game in particular with an athletic quarterback who seems to be hitting his stride right where he left off his rookie year, It's detrimental to what you're trying to do and get accomplished. But hope DeMarcus is good, bouncing back from surgery and be back. But this don't look good for our boys this weekend, Steve.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst. Marcus, we had three teams that I think were pretty surprising wins last week. The Bengals beating the Vikings, the Pittsburgh Steelers getting a win over the Buffalo Bills, and the Arizona Cardinals doing what they did to Tennessee. Which of those teams are you most comfortable putting money behind heading into the rest of this NFL season that you believe is going to be what we saw in week one?
The Cardinals. And that's easy for me to say because that grown man, Chandler Jones, was on that defensive side of the ball. And the impact that J.J. Watt is going to have, especially on third down, and their ability. I love what Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator for Arizona, does as well with his blitz packages, but also understand that he has guys that can get to the quarterback. And on the other side of the ball, man, as long as Kyler can stay healthy, one thing I like that Kyler did, man, down in the red zone against the Titans, and I know we're talking about the Titans, they look terrible on defense, but it was zero coverage, and he hit Christian Kirk in the hands. He understood what was coming, understood the blitz, got rid of the ball fast and for a touchdown. They had a couple one as well with DeAndre Hopkins where he knew the safety, Byer, was going to have to come up because it was another pressure. Got rid of the ball quick. DeAndre spent out, and it ended up in the touchdown. And we get enamored with the dynamic plays that Kyler makes, and he definitely put a highlight film together in week one. But ultimately, you saw the maturation of him just playing quarterback from the pocket. And I think that is what's going to stand the test of time throughout the rest of this year for the Cardinals. The only thing they have to do, man, is just stay consistent. Like, we saw them go up and down. They showed us glimpses of this last year, and then it seemed to waver. Cliff, we had questions about Cliff, whether he could coach all the way through a fourth quarter, adjust the in-game situation, as opposed to telling Kyler Murray to go out there and do something spectacular so they could win the game. They look like a well-oiled machine the first week of the season on both sides of the ball. And I think that's important when we start talking about teams early in the year. How good do they look on both sides of the ball? We've had teams with good units on one side. It was okay on the other side. Arizona looked like more of a complete team probably than anybody outside of the New Orleans Saints against Green Bay in week one.
Yeah, I think that was really one of the teams that jumped out to a lot of people. And if they can take that next step, boy, what a fun juggernaut division the NFC West is going to continue to be. Marcus, you're the man, brother. Yep. We appreciate you as always. We'll talk to you next week. All right, boss?
All right, my brothers. I'm going to be in that studio with y'all one day, and we going to cut up. Y'all know we going to cut up when I get in there.
Oh, for sure. Can't wait in my Bar Scott voice.
God help us all when that day finally comes. We'll talk to you soon, Marcus, man. We'll be ready for it. Awesome stuff there from Marcus Spears here. Always a calming presence in the room anytime you get Marcus Spears around here. Coming up next, though, he's at it again. Why Aaron Rodgers is once again telling everyone to...
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
We'll get back to him next. Coming up here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Tune into an NL battle tomorrow night as the Giants host the Braves. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Chris, like for you, back in college, for me, the Carter 3 by Lil Wayne going into summer of my freshman year, that was the album that defined like the entire year. Every song, Mrs. Officer, Lollipop, all this stuff was playing nonstop. Which one takes you back the most?
Okay, so this album right here, this is right after I got the bag from the New York Giants, and I was in Dallas, Texas, celebrating with my former teammates, the guys that were still around with the Cowboys. And I remember that I actually requested that we had the same limo from the Lollipop video when we went out the night on the town, going to the clubs. I made sure that we had that on site. That was a part of that story. The rest of the story I can't get into because I would need permission from the other guys to disclose some of the things that went down. But I'll just leave it to your imagination. We had a damn good time. But
you should have asked Marcus.
That was a good time in my life. But I got a hot take for you right here, MJG.
Ooh.
Carter 2 is better than Carter 3. Yeah, I said it.
Wow.
Carter 2 is better than Carter 3. I'm putting that out there.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, at Mike Golic Jr., at Chris Canty 99. Is the Carter 2 better than the Carter 3 here? I mean, There's a lot of places that would consider that sacrilegious, but I'm willing to entertain it, Mark. I'm willing to entertain this
I'm
one here, Chris.
I'm just saying, go back and look at the track list from the Carter 2, starting with Money on My Mind. There's a lot, track for track, the fly-in, there's a lot of different tracks on that album. I'm just saying, track to track, full body of work, Carter 2 is better than Carter 3.
Yeah. Woo. Word for word, bar for bar. Wow, yes. Okay. We will let the flames get fanned on that one for a little bit here, and let you know what we need a calming voice in this conversation here. I know no more calming voice or a guy who at least believes himself to be a calming voice than Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers quarterback, who took to the press conference this week to officially turn the page on what happened in Week 1. Let's listen to Aaron.
Look, we've won a lot of games around here. We've lost a few, but you move on. Doesn't matter if you play incredible and put up 50 or you get blown out. You move on to the next opponent. There shouldn't be some big drastic change and alteration the way that we do things, the way we practice, the way we prepare. If it's good enough to get you to this point, then it's good enough from this point forward. So I haven't changed any of the stuff that I've been doing. Obviously, you know, we got to play better. But if we're starting to freak out after 1 week, we're in big trouble.
And I got to say, Chris, he's absolutely right.
Mm.
Like, there is not a single thing he said there that is wrong. Now, everything that leads up to this moment is going to make us color all the words Aaron Rodgers has to say in a different light here. But what he has said there specifically, he's 100% light. Like, I feel like I've heard this speech from Aaron Rodgers time and time again over the course of a long career, and he has almost always delivered on the other side of these moments. We saw him do it last season, so I don't think there should be a lot of worry here. And Monday night's going to be one of those spots where I think Dan Campbell and the Lions are going to sneak up on somebody eventually. I don't think it's going to be Monday night.
No, it better not be Monday night. And to your point, Aaron Rodgers has delivered the last three seasons following the Packers' loss. They're 6-0. Aaron has had a QBR of 65.1, touchdown to interception ratio 16-0, completion percentage 68%. So Aaron always delivers in these moments, but I think context matters. And when you start looking at the offseason that the Packers are coming off of, it's fair to wonder how much that's affecting the overall team being focused on the task at hand, knowing that your quarterback and your best position player in Devontae Adams both feel like they have 1 foot out of the door. Like, to me, that's the biggest issue with the Packers. Like, those two guys have to be a part of the leadership structure. They have to be a part of setting the agenda for the team. You want them to be an extension of Matt LaFleur, and it just doesn't feel like Aaron Rodgers is on the same page, seeing things eye to eye with anybody in that organization. So while Aaron might look at it as a light switch that he can flip on and on at his leisure, I don't think that you can approach the team like that. And I feel like that's the thing that we have to worry about with the Packers here in the early going.
Yeah, Marcus talked about the defense earlier, Marcus Spears, when he was with us on the show here, not letting them off the hook. But Chris, I'd also say, and you know this, you came into the league before that 2011 CBA where all the practice time got changed up here.
Oh, yeah.
And the first quarter of the NFL season since that point has kind of become a preseason for a lot of teams. We've seen everyone place different value on that, but I think for this team in particular, this first 4 weeks might be a little more of a spot to work the kinks out when Aaron Rodgers was so absent from this in a spot in a critical year for this team.
No, you're right. It does present an opportunity. The thing that worries me after what we saw in Week 1 is that offensive line without David Bakhtiari looks like a problem. Like, I know they slid Elgton Jenkins out to left tackle, but, I mean, just the entire group looked like they struggled against that Saints front four. And now, in all fairness, a lot of offensive lines are going to struggle against that Saints front four. But still, like, that's something that we got to see if the Packers can overcome, because that's going to directly impact what kind of quarterback play you're going to get from Aaron Rodgers. So that's one of the things that we kind of assign to this team as being a stalwart or a pillar. I don't know if it's going to be that in the early going.
No, you're right. There were units we came into the season with preconceived notions about that are already getting challenged. Coming up next, though, we'll take a look and see if the Washington football team's quarterback room is one of those units. We'll get to that here next. Canty and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Chris Canty on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.